Good evening, folks. Welcome back again. Another Wednesday night Bible study. And as always, prayer bulletin. You can get that through your email. I believe the student notes, the study notes for tonight are also tacked onto our website, and you can download them from there. Let me welcome you on this snowy Wednesday. And hopefully you're all safe and sound in your homes, enjoying this live stream that we're bringing to you tonight. I'm going to ask you right now, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. That's where we'll be at tonight to start with, Ephesians chapter 4. And let me just say, there are several praises in our prayer bulletin this evening. One that just came up yesterday and as a prayer request, and then a praise shortly thereafter. Julia, she had to go to the doctor yesterday, to the hospital, a heart issue. And they got her from Taylorville up to Springfield and was able to put three stents into her. And she's doing well. We spoke with her this morning, so she's recovering there in Springfield right now. Just continue to pray for her as she recovers from that procedure. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started into our Bible study tonight. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your watchful care over us. Thank you for the answers to prayer that were brought up to you yesterday in regards to Julia. There were several other praises as well in our prayer bulletin. We just want to thank you, Lord, for answering those prayers the way we requested them to be answered. And we just thank you for that. Lord, we pray for the many others that are on our list that are enduring through medical issues right now. We continue to lift them up to you. And we ask, God, that you would continue to keep us as a church safe and unified together. Lord, we also ask, as we go through this study tonight, that your Spirit would guide and direct our hearts as we look at this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, I'll begin reading in verse 1 tonight. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's amazing three verses there. There are so much there. We're not going to try to tackle it all tonight, but we are going to focus on this one sacred motive, which is my calling in Christ. Paul pleads with us, or actually God does, through Paul, to stick to our calling, not get sidetracked from it. There's an appeal here to not get sidetracked or distracted from our calling. You know, another word that we could throw in there for calling is purpose. Stick to our purpose. Stay on course. To do what we need to do to pursue our calling. In other words, our motive, our sacred motive that guides our decisions is our calling, our purpose in life. What to do, what not to do, when to do, when not to do it is all determined by our calling. Okay, so what is our calling? Just what does God mean here when he says to stick to our calling? Well, Paul's an example of this. And so he is appealing to us to do as he has done. So let's consider him for just a moment. There were two, I think, motivating factors in his life. The first one, the fact that God sent his son to die for Paul. The awe and wonder of what God did for Paul never lessened on him. It didn't wear off. It didn't get old. It didn't get dusty. It just continued to be something that he couldn't wrap his mind around. He never got used to it. Look what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ, this thing that God did for Paul, that Christ did for Paul, the love of Christ constraineth us. It compels us. He says, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. See, Paul understood enough of God's love and grace to know he didn't deserve it. Any of it. And that was enough. Just that was enough to increase his devotion to God. And it compelled him, as it says in that verse, constraineth him. It compelled him to holiness and this fervent service for God. The second factor for Paul was that motivated him was that when he got saved, God gave him a new purpose for living, a new calling. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now let's just kind of pull that verse apart and understand it. The understanding of it is not complex once we understand what one word is. God reconciled us to Jesus Christ. So what that simply means, what he's talking about there is us getting saved. Jesus Christ coming, dying on the cross because of our sins, paying the penalty for our sins, and thereby allowing us to be reconciled to God. In other words, our debt has been paid for. The penalty has been removed. Our relationship is once again restored. That's what God did for us by Jesus Christ. And then Paul says in verse 18 that God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The very thing that God did for us, God is saying, now you do for others. The gospel, that's simply what's being talked about here. God brought the gospel to us, and our purpose, our calling, Paul's calling, which is ours, is to take the gospel to others. That is our ministry that we should be working in. Do you think that it's a rare thing today that Christians are involved in this ministry? I mean, isn't it true that most of the time, what we see is individuals accept Christ, they get their ticket to heaven, and that's it. That's all. They just coast on to heaven to the day they die. They've got their ticket, and then there's nothing more from them. They never pursue, they never discover. Maybe they never know that God has a new purpose for them. They never move past spiritual infancy. They never grow in grace, in maturity, in holiness. They don't discover the calling of the gospel, the ministry of reconciliation. As Christians, we are called to this ministry. Let me illustrate it this way. The story is told of a little girl who noticed that her parents always carried important stuff with them. Her dad in his wallet, her mom in her purse. They would carry things like their driver's license, their credit cards, their checkbook, maybe a social security card. They always had important stuff with them. And she would look at her in her purse that she carried as a little girl, and there were some toys, maybe a comb, but nothing really of any importance. She wanted to carry something important in her little purse. So one day she dug her birth certificate out of her parents' filing cabinet. She placed it in her purse and took it to school with her. You see, she wanted to carry something important with her like her parents did. So during recess, she pulled it out of her purse to show her friends. And right at that moment, a wind came and blew the certificate out of her hands, sent it flying through the air, up over her fence and out of sight. It was gone. She sat down and began to cry. Later, a janitor found her crying and asked her what was wrong. And here's what she said. I just lost my excuse for being born. I just lost my reason for being born. On that birth certificate, it said her name, and she was the child of these two people, her parents. Now, let's just take that little story and apply that. Could it be, do you think, that a lot of Christians, maybe even a lot of churches, have lost their excuse for being born? In other words, why do they exist? What is their purpose for being on this world, whether it's Christians or churches? What is their purpose for occupying that spot of real estate with a building and vehicles in the garage? Why are you here? What is your purpose? Have a lot of Christians and churches lost their excuse for being here? Perhaps they have lost sight of the fact that they are a royal priesthood, a generation that has been chosen by God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, set apart for a purpose, His purpose, not theirs. Instead, some Christians, maybe even us, have fallen into the trap of this world and lost sight of our calling, our purpose for being here. If you're saved, you have a calling, a purpose that was given to you before you were born. In fact, before the world was formed, God established and planned this purpose for you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be a holy and without blame before Him in love. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, another verse that says, Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. So our purpose, our calling is, now before we look at the first one, let me preface these by saying, if we aren't doing these things, we are not fulfilling our purpose, okay? Number one, called to the gospel. This is simply sharing the message of salvation to others. If we aren't doing these things, we are not fulfilling our purpose. Sharing the gospel, sharing salvation with others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Paul is saying God put us in trust with the gospel. Part of that ministry of reconciliation. This is what God did for us, and now he says, here, you do this for others. That's your new purpose. He entrusted us with that. Paul is speaking of a position here, this position of trust. It's kind of like being the administrator of a trust today. It's the administrator's responsibility to take the trust, the assets of that trust, and distribute those assets to the recipients of those assets. Failure to do that would be violating his purpose as administrator of that trust. As Christians, we are administrators of the gospel. God entrusted it to you to distribute to those that are intended to receive it. Are we doing that? We've been talking about sacred motives, the reasons behind why we do what we do. This sacred calling, this sacred trust, motivated Paul to share the gospel. Simply because God entrusted it to him, he did what God wanted him to do. Now, folks, this isn't inviting people to church, although that is a good thing to do, and we need to do that. If we do that, that's good, that's great, but that's not being faithful to our purpose of administrating the gospel. This isn't us talking about spiritual things when we're at work or with our friends outside of church, although that's a good thing. This isn't going to church on Sunday, although that is good. It is simply and only sharing with someone their need for Jesus to forgive their sins. Are we doing that? Our second calling is called to growth. We are called to grow. It's not something we should do. It's not something we need to try to do. God says, do this, okay? That means we are supposed to be purposely, intentionally, in the continual, full-time process of changing. Not changing enough to where we get comfortable and say, okay, I've changed enough. I am, looking back, better than what I used to be, better than most people. So now it's time to coast to heaven. Oh no, full-time process of changing, becoming more and more and more and more like Christ, transforming through the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what 2 Peter says in chapter 3 and verse 18. God said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So from the moment that we are saved, we are commanded to grow, to become more like Christ. Do you know when that ends? When we die. Until that day, we are commanded to continue to grow. So until then, we're growing. And we keep growing and keep growing. Now, here's where things are a little bit different. It's not our responsibility to change. Now, let me try to balance these two thoughts. We're commanded to grow, but it's not our responsibility to change. That is God's responsibility to change us. And he does that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What we are commanded to do in this process is to yield to the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit transforms us and the change and transformation and growth takes place. But we have to yield, to submit to what God's Word says. The lack of spiritual growth in a person's life is indicative of a heart problem. Our third calling is this: called to faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards, in managers, that a man be found faithful." Folks, we will one day stand before God and give an account of not necessarily what we have done or how much we have done, but rather, were we faithful? How faithful were we? Do you remember what Christ said to the faithful servant? He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He didn't say, "Well done, because you've done all of this." He just said, "Well done, because you were faithful." This is a steady forward movement as a Christian versus an on again, off again, on again, off again. We get real hot and heavy about serving God, and then we're off again, and then we're on again, and then we're off again. That's not faithful. It's consistency that God's talking about here. And it's part of our sacred calling to do this for a lifetime. As I said, it's not on again, off again, on again, off again. And it's also not on for years and years and years, and then we retire and it's off. No, it's faithful to the very end. You see, you and I have been assigned a mission by God. And we are ignoring our calling because, well, we're too busy with our own pursuits. We're too distracted by our own excuses. We've lost sight. Let me ask that as a question. Have we, as Christians, lost sight of the significance of these last days that we're living in? Earlier this week, I had a conversation with someone outside of our church, and they just flat out asked me, "Do you think we're living in the last days?" That's not how they put it, but that's what they were asking. And I just looked at them and I said, "Yes, absolutely. How can we deny that? Do you understand? Do we understand the significance of the days that we're living in right now? Christ's return is soon. And our purpose, our calling, is to give the gospel, to grow, and to be faithful in all of that. Have we lost sight of the significance of the days that we're living in? If you knew Christ was returning tomorrow, what would you do tonight?" Well, you would probably turn this live stream off right now, okay, and call people that you know aren't saved and beg with them and plead with them. So we don't know if he's coming tomorrow. He could. The signs are all around us that we're coming to the last days, folks. The significance of that needs to motivate us with this sacred calling that we have. Maybe you are looking for a reason to press on. Consider God's sacred call on your life. Your purpose for being here. Look, folks, you woke up this morning. Your heart is beating as we speak. That's proof that he has a purpose for you right now. His purpose for you is not to just be comfortable and coast your way into heaven. No, he has something for you and I and all of us that are alive. He has something for us to be doing, a purpose for us to accomplish. Do you want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Embrace this purpose and fulfill God's purpose for you. Let's pray together. Father God, help us to grasp the significance of this calling that you have for us as Christians. Lord, I think it is so easy for us in this world to get comfortable and coast. Help us to be fervent about this calling, just as Paul was. He was compelled to give the gospel to other people. Lord, I pray that each one of us would consider that. No, God, I pray we would stop considering it. I pray that each one of us would be obedient to that. Help us to dwell on the fact that you did this for us. You saved us. How could we not share that with others? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday. And let me remind those of you that are listening, if you're involved with our Christmas program, I know I said Christmas, we'll be doing that Sunday. But don't forget, please, Thursday night, we do have a practice tomorrow night at 6:30. If you're a part of it, please be there so we can move things along smoothly. Thank you. Have a good evening.